Chapter 31. The Empress said,
Mr. Delaney?
Hedrock bowed. He had disguised himself slightly and taken one of his long-discarded names so that she would not recognize him at some future date.
You have sought an interview?
Said the Empress of Isher. As you see. She toyed with his card. She had on a snow-white gown that accentuated the tan of her face and neck. The room in which she received him had been made up to resemble a small South Sea island. Palms and green growth surrounded them, and on every side was water, lapping on a beach as real as nature. A cool wind blew from that restless sea onto Hedrock's back and into her face. The woman gazed bitterly at Hedrock. She saw a man of earnest mien and commanding appearance, but it was his eyes that startled her. They were strong and kind and infinitely brave. She hadn't expected such special qualities. The visitor took on sudden importance. She looked down at the card again.
Walter Delaney, she said thoughtfully.
She seemed to listen to the name as she spoke it, as if she expected it to acquire meaning. Finally, she shook her head wonderingly.
How did you get in here? I found this appointment on my list and took it for granted that the Chamberlain must have arranged it because it involved necessary business.
Hedrock said nothing. Like so many Imperials, the Chamberlain lacked the defensive mind trainings. And though the Empress herself had them, she did not know that the weapon shops had devoted energy methods for forcing instantaneous favorable response from the unprotected. The woman spoke again.
Very strange, she said.
Hedrock said, Reassure yourself, madam. I have come to solicit your mercy on behalf of an unfortunate, guiltless man. That caught her. Once more her eyes met his, flinched from the strength that was there, then steadied. Hedrock said quietly, Your Majesty, you are in a position to do an act of unparalleled kindness to a man who was nearly 5 million years from here, swinging from past to future as your building forces him ever further away. The words had to be spoken. He expected her to realize instantly that only her intimates and her enemies would know certain details about the vanishing building. The way the color drained from her cheek showed that she was realizing.
You're a weapon shop man? She whispered.
She was on her feet.
Get out of here, she breathed. Out!
Hedrock stood up. Your Majesty, he said, control yourself. You're in no danger. He intended his words to be like a dash of cold water. The suggestion that she was afraid brought splashes of color into her face. She stood like that for a moment and then, with a quick movement, reached into the bosom of her dress and drew out a gleaming white energy weapon.
If you do not leave instantly, she said, I shall fire.
Hedrock held his arms away from his body like a man being searched.
An ordinary gun, he said in amazement, against a man who carries a weapon shop defensive?
Madam, he said, if you will listen to me for a moment.
I do not, said the Empress, deal with weapon shop people.
That was merely irritating. Your Majesty, said Hedrock in a level voice, I am surprised that you make such immature statements. You have not only been dealing with the shops the last few days, you have yielded to them. You have been compelled to end the war and to destroy your time energy machines. You have agreed not to prosecute the officer deserters, but only to discharge them. And you have granted immunity to Cale Clark. He saw in her face that he had not touched her. She was staring at him, frowning.
There must be a reason, she said, that you dare to talk to me like this.
Her own words seemed to galvanize her. She turned back to her chair and stood with finger poised over the ornamental arm.
If I should press this alarm, she said, it would bring guards.
Hedrock sighed. He had hoped she would not force him to reveal his power. Why not, then, he suggested. Press it. It was time, he thought, that she found out her true situation. The woman said,
You think I won't?
Firmly, her extended finger pressed downward. There was silence except for the lapping of the waves and the soft sound of the lifelike breeze. After at least 2 minutes, Inelda, ignoring Hedrock as if he did not exist, walked 20 feet to a tree and touched one of the branches. It must have been another alarm, because she waited, not so long this time, and then walked hurriedly over to the thick brush that concealed the elevator shaft. She activated its mechanism and, when there was no response, came slowly back to where Hedrock waited and sat down in her chair. She was pale but composed. Her eyes did not look at him, but her voice was calm and without fear.
Do you intend to murder me?
Hedrock shook his head, but said nothing. More strongly now, he regretted that he had had to reveal to her how helpless she could be, particularly regretted it because she would undoubtedly start modernizing the defenses of the palace in the mistaken belief that she was protecting herself against superior weapon shop science. He had come here this afternoon prepared for any emergency, physical or mental. He could not force her to do what he wanted, but his fingers blazed with offensive and defensive rings. He had on his business suit, and even weapon shop scientists would have been amazed at the variety of his armor. In his vicinity, no alarm energies would come to life and no guns would operate. It was the day of the greatest decision in the history of the solar system, and he had come mightily girded. The woman's eyes were staring at him with somber intensity.
What do you want? She said. What about this man you mentioned?
Hedrock told her about McAllister.
Are you mad?
She whispered when he had finished.
But why so far? The building is only 3 months.
The ruling factor seems to be mass.
Oh.
Silence, then.
But what do you want me to do?
Hedrock said, Your Majesty, this man commands our pity and our mercy. He is floating in a void whose like no human eyes will ever see again. He has looked upon our Earth and our sun in their infancy and in their old, old age. Nothing can help him now. We must give him the surcease of death. In her mind, Inelda saw the night he pictured. But she was more intent now, seeing this event in its larger environment.
What, she said, about this machine you have?
It is a duplicate of the map machine of the weapon shops. He didn't explain that he had built it in one of his secret laboratories. It lacks only the map itself, which was too intricate to fashion swiftly.
I see.
Her words were automatic, not a real response. She studied his face. She said slowly,
Where do you fit into all this?
It was a question that Hedrock was not prepared to answer. He had come to the Empress of Isher because she had suffered a defeat, and her position being what it was important that she should not remain too resentful. An immortal man, who was once more interfering in the affairs of mortals, had to think of things like that. Madam, he said, there is no time to waste. The building is due here again in 1 hour. The woman said,
But why cannot we leave this decision to the Weapon Shop Council?
Because they might make the wrong decision.
What?
Persisted Inelda.
Is the right decision.
Sitting there, Hedrock told her. Cale Clark set the control so that the car plane would make a wide circle around the house.
Oh, my goodness,
said Lucy Rawl Clark.
Why, it's one of these up-in-the-air places.
She stopped and stared with wide, wondering eyes at the grounds below, at the hanging gardens, at the house floating in the air.
Oh, Cale, she said, are you sure we can afford it?
Cale Clark smiled. Darling, I've explained to you a dozen times. I'm not going to do it again. She protested.
That isn't what I mean. Are you sure the Empress will let you get away with it?
Cale Clark gazed at his wife with a faint, grim smile. Mr. Hedrock, he said slowly, gave me a weapon shop gun. And besides, I did a great deal for Her Majesty, which, at least so she told me on the telestat today, she appreciates. She doesn't dissemble very much, so I have agreed to continue to work for her in much the same way.
Oh,
said Lucy. Now don't get yourself upset, said Cale. Remember, you yourself told me that the weapon shops believed in one government. The more that government is purified, the better off the world will be. And believe me, his face hardened, I've had just enough experience to make me want to purify it. He landed the car plane on the roof of the five-story residence. He led Lucy into the interior, down into the world of bright, gracious rooms where she and he would live forever. At least at 22 or 3, it seemed as if it would be forever.